The Pharsalia by Lucan. Book 8, The Death of Pompeius. Translated by Sir Edward Ridley, 1896. Now through Alcides Pass and Tempe's Grove, Pompeius, aiming for Haemonian glens and forests lone, urged on his wearied steed, scarce heeding now the spur, by devious tracks seeking to veil the footsteps of his flight. The rustle of the foliage and the noise of following comrades filled his anxious soul with terrors as he fancied at his side some ambushed enemy. Fallen from the height of former fortunes, still the chieftain knew his life not worthless, mindful of the fates, and gainst the price he set on Caesar's head, he measures Caesar's value of his own. Yet as he rode, the features of the chief made known his ruin. Many as they sought the camp Pharsalian, ere yet was spread news of the battle, met the chief amazed, and wondered at the whirl of human things. Nor held disaster sure, though Magnus' self told of his ruin. Every witness seen brought peril on his flight. 'Twere better far, safe in a name obscure, through all the world to wander, but his ancient fame forbade. Too long had great Pompeius, from the height of human greatness, envied of mankind, looked on all others. Not for him henceforth could life be lowly. The honors of his youth, too early thrust upon him, and the deeds which brought him triumph in the Sullan days, his conquering army and the Pontic War, made heavier now the burden of defeat, and crushed his pondering soul. So length of days drags down the haughty spirit, and life prolonged when power has perished. Fortune's latest hour be the last hour of life, nor let the wretch live on disgraced by memories of fame. But for the boon of death, who'd dare the sea of prosperous chance? Upon the ocean marge, by red Peneus blushing from the fray, borne in a sloop, to lightest wind and wave scarce equal, he whose countless oars yet smote upon Carrera's isle and Lucas' point, lord of Cilicia and Liburnian lands, crept trembling to the sea. He bids them steer for the sequestered shores of Lesbos' isle, for there wert thou, sharer of all his griefs, Cornelia. Sadder far thy life apart than wert thou present in Thessalia's fields. Racked is thy heart with presages of ill. Pharsalia fills thy dreams, and when the shades give place to coming dawn, with hasty step thou treadst some cliff sea-beaten, and with eyes gazing afar art first to mark the sail of each approaching bark, yet darest not ask aught of thy husband's fate. Behold the boat, whose bending canvas bears her to the shore. She brings, unknown as yet, thy chiefest dread, rumor of evil, herald of defeat, Magnus, thy conquered spouse. Fear then no more, but give to grief thy moments. From the ship he leaps to land. She marks the cruel doom wrought by the gods upon him. Pale and wan, his weary features by the hoary locks shaded, dust of travel on his garb. Dark on her soul a night of anguish fell. Her trembling limbs no longer bore her frame. Scarce throbbed her heart, and prone on earth she lay, deceived in hope of death. The boat made fast. Pompeius, treading the lone waste of sand, drew near, whom when Cornelia's maidens saw, they stayed their weeping, yet with sighs subdued reproached the fates, and tried in vain to raise their mistress' form, till Magnus to his breast drew her with cherishing arms. And at the touch of soothing hands, the life-blood to her veins returned once more, and she could bear to look upon his features. He forbade despair, chiding her grief. Not at the earliest blow by fortune dealt, inheritress of fame bequeathed by noble fathers, should thy strength thus fail and yield. renown shall yet be thine to last through ages. Not of laws decreed, nor conquests won, a gentler path to thee, as to thy sex, is given. Thy husband's woe. Let thine affection struggle with the fates, and in his misery love thy lord the more. I bring thee greater glory, for that gone is all the pomp of power and all the crowd of faithful senators and suppliant kings. Now, first, Pompeius for himself alone, 'tis thine to love. Curb this unbounded grief, while yet I breathe unseemly. O'er my tomb weep out thy fill, the final pledge of faith. Thou hast no loss, nor has the war destroyed aught save my fortune. If for that thy grief, that was thy love. Roused by her husband's words, yet scarcely could she raise her trembling limbs, thus speaking through her sobs, would I have sought detested Caesar's couch, ill-omened wife, a spouse unhappy. At my nuptials twice a fury has been bridesmaid, and the ghosts of slaughtered Crassi, with avenging shades, brought by my wedlock to the doomed camp, the Parthian massacre. Twice my star has cursed the world, and peoples have been hurled to death in one red moment, and the gods, through me, have left the better cause. O hero mine, mightiest husband, wedded to a wife unworthy, 'twas through her that fortune gained the right to strike thee. Wherefore did I wed to bring thee misery? Mine the guilt, mine be the penalty, and that the wave may bear thee gently onwards, and the kings may keep thy faith to thee, and all the earth be ready to thy rule. Me from thy side cast to the billows. Rather had I died to bring thee victory. Thy disasters thus expiate. And cruel Julia, thee, who by this war hast vengeance on our vows, from thine abode I call. Atonement find in this thy rival's death, and spare at least thy Magnus. Then upon his breast she fell, while all the concourse wept, e'en Magnus' self, who saw Thessalia's field without a tear. But now upon the shore a numerous band from Mytilene thus approached the chief. If 'tis our greatest glory to have kept the pledge with us by such a husband placed, do thou one night within these friendly walls, we pray thee, stay, thus honoring the homes long since devoted, Magnus, to thy cause. This spot in days to come the guest from Rome for thee shall honor. Nowhere shalt thou find a surer refuge in defeat. All else may court the victor's favor. We long since have earned his chastisement. And though our isle rides on the deep, girt by the ocean wave, no ships has Caesar. And to us shall come, be sure, thy captains to our trusted shore, the war renewing. Take, for all is thine, the treasures of our temples and the gold. Take all our youth by land or on the sea to do thy bidding. Lesbos only asks this from the chief who sought her in his pride, not in his fall to leave her. Pleased in soul at such a love, and joyed that in the world some faith still lingered, thus Pompeius said. Earth has for me no dearer land than this. Did I not trust it with so sweet a pledge, and find it faithful? Here was Rome for me, country and household gods. This shore I sought, home of my wife, this Lesbos, which for her had merited remorseless Caesar's ire, nor was afraid to trust you with the means to gain his mercy. But enough. Through me your guilt was caused. I part throughout the world to prove my fate. Farewell, thou happiest land, famous forever, whether taught by thee some other kings and peoples may be pleased to give me shelter, or shouldst thou alone be faithful. And now seek I in what lands right may be found, or wrong. My latest prayer receive, O Deity, if still with me thou bidest, thus. May it be mine again, conquered, with hostile Caesar on my tracks, to find a Lesbos where to enter in and whence depart unhindered. In the boat he placed his spouse, while from the shore arose such lamentation, and such hands were raised in ire against the gods, that thou hadst deemed all left their kin for exile and their homes. And though for Magnus grieving in his fall, yet for Cornelia chiefly did they mourn, long since their gentle gift. For her had wept the Lesbian matrons, had she left to join a victor husband, for she won their love by kindly modesty and gracious mien, ere yet her lord was conquered, while as yet their fortune stood. Now slowly to the deep sank fiery Titan, but not yet to those he sought, if such there be, was shown his orb, though veiled from those he quitted. Magnus' mind, anxious with waking cares, sought through the kings, his subjects, and the cities leagued with Rome, in faith, and through the pathless tracks that lie beyond the southern bounds, until the toil of sorrowing thought upon the past, and dread of that which might be, made him cast afar his wavering doubts, and from the captain seek some counsel on the heavens. How by the sky he marked his track upon the deep, what star guided the path to Syria, and what points found in the wain would pilot him aright to shores of Libya. But thus replied the well-skilled watcher of the silent skies, not by the constellations moving ever across the heavens do we guide our barks, for that were perilous, but by that star which never sinks nor dips below the wave, girt by the glittering groups men call the Bears. When stands the pole star clear before the mast, then to the Bosphorus look we, and the main which carves the coast of Scythia. But the more Boötes dips, and nearer to the sea is Cynosura seen, so much the ship toward Syria tends, till bright Canopus shines, in southern skies content to hold his course. With him upon the left past Pharos borne, straight for the Syrtes shalt thou plough the deep. But whither now dost bid me shape the yards and set the canvas? Magnus, doubting still, this only be thy care. From Thracia steer the vessel onward, shun with all thy skill Italia's distant shore, and for the rest, trust to the winds for guidance. When I sought, pledged with the Lesbians, my spouse beloved, my course were sure. Now, fortune, where thou wilt, give me a refuge. These his answering words. The pilot, as they hung from level yards, shifted the sails, and hauling to the stern one sheet, he slacked the other, to the left steering, where Samian rocks and Chian marred the stillness of the waters, while the sea sent up in answer to the changing keel a different murmur. Not so deftly turns, curbing his steeds, his wain, the charioteer, while glows his dexter wheel, and with the left he almost touches, yet avoids the goal. Now Titan veiled the stars and showed the shore, when, following Magnus, came a scattered band, saved from the Thracian storm, from Lesbos port, his son, next captains who preserved their faith. For at his side, though vanquished in the field, cast down by fate, in exile, still there stood lords of the earth and all her orient realms, the kings his ministers. To the farthest lands he bids Deiotarus, O faithful friend, since in Amathia's battlefield was lost the world, so far as Roman, it remains to test the faith of peoples of the east, who drink of Tigris and Euphrates' stream, secure as yet from Caesar. Be it thine, far as the rising of the sun, to trace the fates that favor Magnus, to the courts of Median palaces, to Scythian steppes, and to the son of haughty Arsaces, to bear my message. Hold ye to the faith, pledged by your priests and by the Thunderer's name of Latium sworn? Then fill your quivers full. Draw to its fullest span the Armenian bow, and Getan archers wing the fatal shaft. And you, ye Parthians, if when I sought the Caspian gates and on the Elanian tribes, fierce, ever warring, pressed, I suffered you in Persian tracts to wander, nor compelled to seek for shelter Babylonian walls. If beyond Cyrus' kingdom and the bounds of wide Chaldea, where from Nysa's top pours down Hydaspes, and the Ganges' flood foams to the ocean, nearer far I stood than Persia's bounds to Phoebus' rising fires. If by my sufferance, Parthians, you alone decked not my triumphs, but in equal state, soul of all equal eastern princes, face to face met Magnus in his pride, nor only once through me were saved, for after that dread day, who but Pompeius soothed the kindling fires of Latium's anger? By my service paid, come forth to victory, burst the ancient bounds by Macedon's hero set. In Magnus' cause, march, Parthians, to Rome's conquest, Rome herself prays to be conquered. Hard the task imposed, yet doffed his robe and swift obeyed, the king wrapped in a servant's mantle. If a prince for safety play the boor, then happier, sure, the peasant's lot than lordship of the world. The king thus parted. Past Icaria's rocks, Pompeius' vessel skirts the foamy crags of little Samos. Colophon's tranquil sea and Ephesus lay behind him, and the air breathed freely on him from the Coan shore. Cnidos he shunned, and famous for its son, Rhodos, and steering for the middle deep, escaped the windings of Telmessus Bay, till rose Pamphylian coasts before the bark, and first the fallen chieftain dared to find in small Phacelus shelter, for therein scarce was the husbandman and empty homes forbade to fear. Next Taurus heights he saw, and Dipsus falling from his lofty sides. So sailed he onward. Did Pompeius hope, thus severed by the billows from the foe, to make his safety sure? His little boat flies unmolested past Cilician shores, but to their exiled lord and chiefest part the Senate of Rome was drawn. Celendrae there received their fleet, where fair Salinas' stream in spacious bay gives refuge from the main, and to the gathered chiefs in mournful words at length Pompeius thus resolved his thoughts. O faithful comrades mine in war and flight, to me my country, though this barren shore our place of meeting, and no gathered host surrounds us, yet upon our changed estate I seek your counsel. Rouse ye as of yore with hearts of courage. Magnus on the field, not all is perished, nor do fates forbid, but that I rise afresh with living hope of future victories and spurn defeat. From Libyan ruins did not Marius rise, again recorded consul on the page, full of his honors? Shall a lighter blow keep Magnus down, whose thousand chiefs and ships still plow the billows? By defeat his strength not whelmed but scattered, and the fame alone of our great deeds of glory in the past shall now protect us, and the world unchanged still love its hero. Weigh upon the scales, ye chiefs, which best may help the needs of Rome in faith and armies, or the Parthian realm, Egypt or Libya. For myself, ye chiefs, I veil no secret thoughts, but thus advise. Place no reliance on the Pharian king, his age forbids, nor on the cunning Moor, who vain of Punic ancestors and vain of Carthaginian memories and descent, supposed from Hannibal, and swollen with pride at Varus' supplication, sees in thought Rome lie beneath him. Wherefore, comrades, seek at speed the eastern world, those mighty realms disjoins from us Euphrates and the gates called Caspian. On another sky than ours their day and night revolve. Another sea of different hue is severed from our own. is their wish, not else, and in their plains, taller the war horse, stronger twangs the bow. There fails nor youth nor age to wing the shaft, fatal in flight. Their archers first subdued the lance of Macedon and Batra's walls, home of the Mede, and haughty Babylon with all her storied towers. Nor shall they dread the Roman onset, trusting to the shafts by which the host of fated Crassus fell. Nor trust they only to the javelin blade untipped with poison. From the rancorous edge, the slightest wound deals death. Would that my lot forced me not thus to trust that savage race of Arsaces. Yet now their emulous fate contends with Roman destinies, the gods smile favoring on their nation. Thence I'll pour on Caesar peoples from another earth, and all the Orient ravished from its home. But should the East and barbarous treaties fail, fate, bear our shipwrecked fortunes past the bounds of earth, as known to men. The kings I made I supplicate not, but in death shall take to other spheres this solace, chief of all. His hands, my kinsmen's, never shed my blood, nor soothed me dying. Yet as my mind in turn the varying fortunes of my life recalls, how was I glorious in that eastern world? How great my name by far Maeotis marsh, and where swift Tanais flows? No other land has so resounded with my conquests won, so sent me home triumphant. Rome, do thou approve my enterprise? What happier chance could favoring gods afford thee? Parthian hosts shall fight the civil wars of Rome and share her ills and fall enfeebled. When the arms of Caesar meet with Parthian in the fray, then must kind fortune vindicate my lot, or Crassus be avenged. But murmurs rose, and Magnus, speaking, knew his words condemned. Then Lentulus answered with indignant soul, foremost to rouse their valor, thus in words worthy a consul. Have Thessalian woes broken thy spirit so? One day's defeat condemned the world to ruin? Is the cause lost in one battle and beyond what recall? Find we no cure for wounds? Does fortune drive thee, Magnus, to the Parthian's feet alone? And dost thou, fugitive, spurn the lands and skies known heretofore, and seek for other poles and constellations and Chaldean gods, and rites barbarian, servant of the realm of Parthia? But why then took we arms for love of liberty? If thou canst slave, thou hast deceived the world. Shall Parthia see thee, at whose name, ruler of mighty Rome, she trembled, at whose feet she captive saw Hyrcanian kings and Indian princes kneel, now humbly suppliant, victim of the fates, and at thy prayer her puny strength extol in mad contention with the western world? Nor think, Pompeius, thou shalt plead thy cause in that proud tongue unknown to Parthian ears, of which thy fate is worthy. Sobs and tears he shall demand of thee. And has our shame brought us to this, that some barbarian foe shall venge Hesperian's wrongs, ere Rome her own? Thou wert our leader for the civil war. Mid Scythia's peoples dost thou bruit abroad wounds and disasters which are ours alone? Rome, until now, though subject to the yoke of civic despots, yet within her walls has brooked no foreign lord. And art thou pleased, from all the world, to summon to her gates these savage peoples, while the standards lost by far Euphrates, while the Crassi fell, shall lead thy columns? Shall the only king who failed Amathia, while the fates yet hid their favoring voices, brave the victor's power, and join with thine his fortune? Nay, not so this nation trusts itself. Each race that claims a northern birth, unconquered in the fray, claims but the warrior's death. But as the sky slopes toward the eastern tracts and gentler climes, so are the nations. there in flowing robes and garments delicate are men arrayed. True that the Parthian and Sarmatia's plains, where Tigris spreads across the level meads, contends invincible, for flight is his, unbounded. But should uplands bar his path, he scales them not, nor through the night of war shall his weak bow, uncertain in its aim, repel the foeman, nor his strength of arm the torrent stem, nor all a summer's day in dust and blood bear up against the foe. They fill no hostile trench, nor in their hands shall battering engine or machine of war dash down the rampart, and whate'er avails to stop their arrows battles like a wall. Wide sweep their horsemen, fleeting in attack and light in onset, and their troops shall yield a camp not take it. Poisoned are their shafts. Nor do they dare a combat hand to hand, but as the winds may suffer, from afar they draw their bows at venture. Brave men love the sword, which, yielded by a stalwart arm, drives home the blow and makes the battle sure. Not such their weapons. And the first assault shall force the flying Mede with coward hand and empty quiver from the field. His faith in poisoned blade is placed. But trustest thou those who without such aid refuse the war? For such alliance wilt thou risk a death with all the world between thee and thy home? Shall some barbarian earth or lowly grave enclose thee perishing? E'en that were shame, while Crassus seeks a sepulchre in vain. Thy lot is happy. Death, unfeared by men, is thy worst doom, Pompeius. But no death awaits Cornelia. Such a fate for her this king shall not reserve. For know not we the hateful secrets of barbarian love, which, blind as that is beasts, the marriage bed pollutes with wives unnumbered? Nor the laws by nature made respect they, nor of kin. By ancient days the fable of the crime, by tyrant Oedipus unwitting wrought, brought hate upon his city. But how oft sits on the throne of Arsaces a prince of birth incestuous? This gracious dame, born of Metellus, noblest blood of Rome, shall share the couch of the barbarian king with thousand others. Yet in savage joy, proud of her former husbands, he may grant some larger share of favor, and the fates may seem to smile on Parthia, for the spouse of Crassus, captive, shall to him be brought as spoil of former conquest. If the wound dealt in that fell defeat in eastern lands still stirs thy heart, then double is the shame, first to have waged the war upon ourselves, then ask the foe for succor. For what blame can rest on thee or Caesar worse than this, that in the clash of conflict ye forgot, for Crassus' slaughtered troops, the vengeance due? First should united Rome upon the Mede have poured her captains and the troops who guard the northern frontier from the Dacian hordes, and all her legions should have left the Rhine free to the Teuton till the Parthian dead were piled in heaps upon the sands that hide our heroes slain, and haughty Babylon lay at her victor's feet. To this foul peace we pray an end, and if Thessalia's day has closed our warfare, let the conqueror march straight on our Parthian foe. Then should this heart, then only, leap at Caesar's triumph won. Go thou, and pass Araxes' chilly stream on this thine errand, and the fleeting ghost, pierced by the Scythian shaft, shall greet thee thus. Art thou not he to whom our wandering shades looked for their vengeance in the guise of war? And dost thou sue for peace? There shalt thou meet memorials of the dead. Red is yon wall where passed their headless trunks. Euphrates here engulfed them slain, or Tigris' winding stream cast on the shore to perish. Gaze on this, and thou canst supplicate at Caesar's feet in mid Thessalia seated. Nay, thy glance turn on the Roman world, and if thou fear'st King Juba faithless in the southern realms, then seek we Pharos. Egypt on the west, girt by the trackless Syrtes, forces back by sevenfold stream the ocean, rich in glebe and gold and merchandise, and proud of Nile, asks for no rain from heaven. Now holds this boy her scepter owed to thee, his guardian thou. And who shall fear this shadow of a name? Hope not from monarchs old, whose shame is fled, or laws, or troth, or honor of the gods. New kings bring mildest sway. His words prevailed upon his hearers. With what freedom speaks, when states are trembling, patriot despair! Pompeius' voice was quelled. End of Part 1 of Book 8.